All right. Oh, wait, not yet. Okay, now. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. I know I said Molly would be here last week when it was only me, but she's not. But she's not on vacation anymore, actually. She's back. She's working, though. She's in Austin, Texas at something called the PRPD, the Public Radio Program Directors Conference. It's a big whiz-bang public radio conference. Anyway, she's having fun. I'm working. You figure that out. We're going to do a bunch of stuff today. Actually, we're going to do one thing. We're going to do a lot about it, and we're going to do it really well. We have talked for a long time on this podcast about the state of journalism and the state of technology and where those two might meet. And today, we're going to actually talk about where they might meet. It's a thing called Civil. It's a well, you know what? I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to let actually the person with whom I'm going to speak here in a minute talk about what it is, why it works, how it works, and then what the promise is, because it's blockchain and cryptocurrency and trust and all kinds of stuff. We will also hear from you. We've got some questions. We've got my thoughts and some answers and a whole bunch of other stuff. The thing, of course, we don't have is Molly. But look, I've got you guys, and here comes the tagline. You ready? None of us is as smart as all of us, which actually happens to be true. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in Lillian Ruiz. She is the co-founder and COO, Chief Operating Officer, of this thing called Civil, which I'm going to guess a lot of you might not have heard about. So Lillian, first of all, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Do me a favor, would you, for those who are not familiar with it, what is Civil?
Sure. So Civil is very humbly a blockchain technology company that is seeking to build a new economy and ecosystem for journalism.
On what sort of business model will it work? I guess that's maybe the place to start.
Sure. So for us, you know, as I mentioned, we are this blockchain technology company. What we're doing is we're building software, tools, and a crypto economic system that essentially creates more autonomy and ownership for independent publishers and consumers. So publishers are coming onto Civil and they're building new newsrooms. They're using our tools for everything from archival permanence to new economic incentives for their readers, for their freelancers, for their writers, as well as things like licensing. And so we're kind of going pretty wide, but obviously...
Sorry, I was just going to say, it sounds like you're all in, right? I mean, you're a full service provider, as it were. Let me back you up for a minute and ask you what the conversation was like between yourself and Matt Coolidge, your co-founder, if you guys were sitting around the apartment one day or wherever you were working saying, listen, we need to do something new. How did that go?
Sure. So I think we're actually, you know, if you're taking it back, kind of this idea of, none of us are as smart as all of us. So Civil actually has 8 co-founders.
Okay.
And Matt Coolidge is one of them. And Matthew Isles is kind of the original co-founder. He's our CEO.
Got it.
And Matthew started doing a lot of research around the state of news, new business models. And he kind of was just working through it and kind of like thinking more and more that maybe there's just some way and some place to start new. So he started doing a lot of research on the blockchain. And at that point, you know, this is 2016, so it wasn't even like the hip kids were there yet. so he was, you know, researching it and reaching out to people that he knew, including myself, just kind of asking for our input on media and publishing and advertising. And the more and more that, you know, those of us that he pulled in got into it, the more and more that we were just thinking, you know, let's just take a new swing at the pinata, you know, and let's build this new space. And I think what was really exciting and interesting about using the blockchain and using crypto economics is that it is this idea of consensus-driven mechanisms to build something new, to build something that has individual accountability, and that at the end of the day is really kind of, it's as much participatory as it is, you know, accountability and ownership based. And it's also cutting out, we think, a lot of the, you know, kind of middlemen that are in the room. So it's really just about the journalists, these new publications, and their readers, and how they can create this new value system and this new structure.
All right. So give me a for instance here, and I'm going to throw out some names here, which you will, of course, know. Colorado Sun is one of your participants, I guess. I'm sure you have some customer friendly word for them. Zigzag, the podcast from Stable Genius mm-hmm. Productions, and Manoush Zomorodi, who we've had on Marketplace a couple of times. They're another one. Tell me how it works. They come to you and say, listen, we've got this idea for a new journalism gig. Help?
So the first 14 newsrooms, we call them newsrooms, which is interchangeable with publications
sure,
or publishers.
Sure.
So the first 14 newsrooms, we hand selected. We call them internally the first fleet. So we reached out to really talented journalists and pitched them this crazy idea with moon jewels. And basically,
I'm sorry,
we're like,
moon
you
jewels?
Know,
what are moon jewels?
We jokingly refer to cryptocurrency
right.
as moon
All
jewels.
Right. So yeah, so we'll get to the actual cryptocurrency part of it. But anyway, so you reach out to them and you say, listen, we've got this thing we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got this thing we're doing, and we're looking for smart, interesting stories and journalists who want to build something new and want to take their first opportunity at being, you know, entrepreneurial journalists and publishers in their own right. And this is how we intend to do it. And this is how we intend to make a network and a, audience and a reader base for all of this. And, you know, folks were really excited. So for them, it was an opportunity to, try something new and kind of break the old business models and the old systems in favor of something that's, you know, so much more about, like I said before, the readers and the
right.
consumers.
And then besides the moon jewels, which is, you know, sort of the promise of whatever this crypto economic system turns out to be, do you give them actual money that's usable in this economy right now?
For the early group, for this first fleet, yes.
Okay.
We did give them some bootstrapping capital. Part of that is because, you know, as you know, when you're a new publication, you need time to sort of ramp up your story
sure.
development and all of that. So we wanted to give them the flexibility to be able to do that and support themselves. And then in the long term, that won't be the case. And also when Civil launches its token launch,
right.
Anyone can apply to be a newsroom on Civil and start their own publication and develop their own audiences and use our tools as they see fit.
Got it. Token thing coming up in just a second. But first, where does Civil, the platform, get its seed money from, its funding money?
Sure. So Civil, we got our first round of funding from Consensus, which is the largest Ethereum venture studio,
gotcha.
I think, in the world.
Ethereum being a cryptocurrency, right?
Right.
Right.
So we got our first round of funding from them, and they've been, you know, extraordinarily supportive of
right.
our independence and,
right.
and what we need to do in order to be like a credible journalism technology platform. So our next moment is really around this token launch.
Right, right. Commonly, otherwise in some parts of this economy, known as an ICO, right? An initial coin offering?
Right. Some folks call it that.
Yeah.
We try and stay away from that.
Fair enough, because that phrase has become somewhat tainted. So when is the token launch coming?
So our token launch is on September. It starts on September 18th. But you can pre-register now. And for those of you who do listen to Zigzag Pod, they've got a couple of really great episodes that walk you through that process. And we've also launched webinars that we've been doing, two of them a day, that teaches you about blockchain, about Civil's mission, about the Civil token,
mm-hmm.
About how to sign up. It's a really cool experience if you're interested in sort of supporting a new journalism model and want to learn about it. I think they run about 45 minutes. So we have one in the morning, one in the evening. And it's a great way to kind of, at the very least, learn about what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to guess actually there will be listeners to this podcast who want to at least watch or participate in this thing. So let's get the plug in here. Give me the URL. You got it handy?
Sure. The URL is you go to civil.co, and I believe we have a big fat button sitting up top that lets you sign up for the webinar. We
okay.
tried to make at least that part easy.
All right. Yeah, so actually, speaking of that, you are taking great pains to make sure that this does not become, as have, oh, shall we say, other cryptocurrencies, a speculative venture with booms and now busts and all the problems that brings. Talk to me for a second about what happens, assuming you're able to eliminate that boom-bust cycle. I buy, 5 Civil tokens, whatever. What does that get me?
Sure. So with a civil token, you know, it's less about what it gets you and it's much more about what you can do with it. So if you're a journalist who wants to start a publication on civil, you can stake tokens to create your newsroom. If you are a reader or a journalist who holds civil tokens, you can vote on changes to this overarching civil system through. So we have this civil constitution mm-hmm. that is really the guiding practice for journalism and for behavior on civil. So you can make votes to that. You can also challenge newsrooms that are not upholding the Constitution, which for us is really huge because, like I said, it's about the token holders really holding each other and holding the news to account and holding it to the standard of high quality and value. So it's a bit of game theory there, but that's really you know, some of the core functions you can do with the token.
Yeah, with the caveat, of course, the game theory is not game. There's nothing actually fun about game theory. apologies to the economists out there. I wonder if this doesn't gamify a little bit the very serious enterprise of journalism in this society today, especially in this society right now. If I buy some civil tokens just so I can vote stuff up and down, why don't I just go to Reddit?
So it's not just about voting things up and down. So we also have this entity that's run by Vivian Schiller.
Former head of National Public Radio, we should say, full disclosure, of which this company is not a part, but that's a whole different thing. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So Vivian Schiller runs the Civil Foundation and is recruiting and has recruited, you know, 9 journalists, media lawyers, free speech specialists to kind of oversee this constitution, oversee this ecosystem. Really sort of high priority challenges can be elevated to the Civil Foundation, or rather to the Civil Council, to kind of look at these cases, put it through a, you know, wait period of reviewing this, you know, pretty similar to the Supreme Court in some ways, and build precedent over how these things are created and mitigated. So they won't be, you know, putting their hands on every single challenge that happens, but certainly appeals can be made to them over time.
So let's say in September, you at your token offering, you sell all $32 million worth of the tokens that you're going to offer, and you have cash and stuff that you can invest and spend. What does civil look like 2 years from now?
So civil 2 years from now, you know, there's going to be two options for you. There's going to be, for getting information and for getting news, there's going to be the regular internet, which is just kind of a wild west as it's always been. And then there's going to be civil. And consumers and journalists alike will know that they can go to civil to create, consume, distribute high-quality journalism and be able to do it in a way that is, you know, personally sustainable. And that doesn't have kind of the fingerprints of big tech and other third parties involved in it. So that's really, you know, where we see ourselves. And we see ourselves building a wide variety of SaaS products for journalism enterprises.
Define SaaS for folks, would you?
Oh, sure. That's software as a service.
There you go. So I don't I this will sound like a poke you in the eye question, but it's really not meant to be. And it goes something like this. This all sounds very grand and highfalutin, but if journalism and news and truth and facts are under attack in society today as they are, how does civil fix that?
Sure. So at the core of civil and at the core of, you know, blockchain is this idea of true autonomy. So we see the media business model right now as broken. You know, you've got big tech is in charge. Publishers are scrambling for crumbs of this pie. And basically, you know, we just keep thinking there's this other way. And what you're finding is, you know, you've got Facebook and Google using users as product. You've got Twitter and YouTube using creators for free content. They have no real incentive to truly better serve journalists or consumers. So at Civil, you know, we're using this new technology, smart contracts, crypto economic systems to promise a new shared infrastructure that's based on co-ownership and cooperation across the people who are most impacted by the current landscape. So that's really, you know, for us, it's a lot about, yes, protecting journalism, but it's also about reestablishing accountability and credibility and participation. And all of these things, I think, are things that readers are hungry for, that journalists are hungry for, and they have absolutely no place to do it. And, you know, Civil, you know, I want to say that Civil is the place where you can do it. And you kind of can build something that's clean and that's new.
Maybe it's Civil will be, because we're not sure if it's there yet, right? Because everything kind of hinges on this token offering, to be honest.
Quite a bit hinges on the token offering.
Lillian Ruiz is the Chief Operating Officer of Civil. Give me again the URL for the webinar, because I'll guarantee you people are going to go to it.
Sure. You can go to civil.co, C-O, not C-O-M. Mm-hmm. So civil.co.
And the token offering is when? September the what?
September 18th is our token offering.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thank you.
See ya. So now that you've heard about Civil and what it aims and hopes and plans and wishes to do, here's an example of real life. I mentioned the Colorado Sun, right? Sharon Morse, our producer, spoke with a guy by the name of Eric Lubers. He's the chief technology officer of the Colorado Sun, which is one of the newspapers, newsrooms, rather, powered by Civil. He's been in local news in Colorado for 13 years, was at the Denver Post for a bunch of those years. As you might have seen, the Denver Post laid off a bunch of journalists, a huge decline this past March. And here's what Eric Lubers had to say about that.
We were told that 30 people were going to be laid off, and that was a third of our newsroom. Losing that many people in one fell swoop, and mostly, you know, people that had a ton of experience, a ton of institutional knowledge, just so much walking out the door with them, it was just kind of a blow to morale left and right.
Yeah, so it's journalism under business pressures, and there's private equity, and there's a whole bunch of stories behind the Denver Post. But the fact of the matter is, and it was a really big problem for that newsroom. Eric actually kept his job. He was not let go. But he and a bunch of people who did work there with him, they quit the Post anyway. And then Civil approached that group to start a newsroom. And the interesting thing, of course, is there's no big publisher at the top of the Colorado Sun's org structure. It means the pressure is all on the team to perform. Here's Eric Lubers one more time.
The difference between being at the Colorado Sun and the Denver Post is we're on the same ship, but at the Denver Post, you were just a passenger. And at the Sun, at least we're at the wheel. You know, we could still crash into the iceberg, but at least we'll be controlling it while we crash into the iceberg. And that's sort of a comforting thought in a way.
Not comforting, though, is the whole blockchain thing that Lillian and I were talking about, right? There's a crypto economic underpinning to Civil, which has to work. And if you don't understand that, which Eric basically did not understand, it's going to be a problem. They launch as a digital newspaper September the 10th, and Eric's just keeping his nose down and doing his job.
It's just some basic issues like marketing. You know, like, we are a brand new brand in a state that is rapidly changing, you know, 100,000 new residents every year for the last 5 years. You know, so how do we even get the people who would be the most affected by our journalism to know about us? And then, you know, we have a nice ramp from these grants from Civil, but that ramp is going to end at some point. So really what's on our minds right now is how quickly can we get to that point where we can stand on our own? And how do we make sure that our journalism really represents the state, and how do we make sure that people actually read the stuff?
That last bit right there, right? How do we get journalism that represents the state or our constituency, and how do we make sure people actually read or, in our case, listen to this stuff? That's exactly the issues that Legacy Media is having, and it's part of the business model that's been so problematical, which is why we get to Civil. Anyway, your thoughts on media, free speech, digital economy, whatever you want to talk to us about, honestly, because we read them all. Hit us up. Make me smart at marketplace.org. You can tweet at us. I'm at Kai Rizdal. Molly Wood is, now that she's back on vacation, at Molly Wood. And we're going to take a break.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
All right, so that was a long first half. We're going to do a quick second half, and it's mostly you guys. Here you go.
Hi, Kai and Molly.
This is Brent in Detroit.
This is Rebecca from Baltimore.
It was great to hear comments on my question about GDPR.
I wanted to put in my vote.
I want to discuss a slightly different but maybe related thing.
I love that one. Every time that one gets me. Something, you know, completely different than what you were talking about. All right, so here you go. Sarah Wood, she's in Colorado, actually, and maybe conceivably a customer at some point of the Colorado Sun, left us a question about civil and blockchain. Here you go.
How will journalistic integrity be protected under a shareholder model? Thank you.
Let's be clear that the shareholder model, maybe not exactly as with civil, but the shareholder model in journalism has been around for a really long time, right? It's not like there have not been business pressures on journalists. And at some place in the organizational chain, there is always, and there is here at Marketplace, and there have been at every place I've ever worked, there's somebody in that chain that literally stands up and says, stop, you business people, advertising people, financial interest people, stop. I am the line. Below me are the journalists. Above me is corporate. You leave them alone. If you have problems, bring them to me and I will filter it. That's the way it goes. And it's happened in newsrooms forever, forever. And you just have to count on, contrary to what a lot of you hear in, oh, say, Twitter conversations about the press today, journalists like to be left alone and do our jobs. And there are corporate people and business people and advertising people who know that. And people who work here, I mean, honestly, people who work here at Marketplace, they will not pick up the phone and have a conversation with a corporate type because it just doesn't happen. You got to believe me on that one. All right. So we did a whole long thing last week about Alex Jones and InfoWars, had a great conversation about sort of all of that stuff that's going on with social media and who gets to say what and who decides. And look, go listen to Jack Dorsey's conversation with Brian Stelter on CNN this weekend. Jack was, he was forthcoming, although I'm not sure he did himself any good. Anyway, William Cork sees it not as a First Amendment issue, which we talked about last time. It's really not. The big tech companies are discriminating against political beliefs that they disagree with. Look at the example of Candace Owens being banned for retweeting an old Sarah Jung tweet with one word, change. These companies' behavior will change when they are sued for discrimination. Yeah, that might be. I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see. I don't know if the Constitution is going to come into this thing anytime soon, but what do I know? All right. Christopher Jenick says we missed a key detail in the distinction between Facebook banning Alex Jones and Twitter much more reticent to do the same thing. And the difference is our president. Here's what he says. Banning Alex Jones would leave Twitter to publicly defend what internal justifications make Jones unacceptable and the president permissible. From this perspective, Twitter's business decision to not confront the issue makes sense. Look, taking on the president of the United States as a private company in this society today and this economy, that's always been a dicey proposition, although companies are getting less afraid of it, for sure. All right. So that's it. That's a wrap. Quick second and a half, as I promised. Send us your thoughts, your questions, your answer to the Make Me Smart question, which I know we didn't get in today. Molly's going to yell at me, but, you know, whatever. Make Me Smart question is, what is something you thought you knew, but then found out you were wrong about? Send us your answer. Do a voice memo. Email it to us. MakeMeSmart@Marketplace.org. Let's see. What else am I supposed to say here? I'm supposed to say Apple Podcasts, sign up, tell a friend, rate us. There you go. He's stalling for the music, and finally it comes. My God. All right, so look, I know I promised last week that Molly's going to be back. I promise. Molly's going to be back at some point. I don't know when. Soon. Maybe. You listening, Molly? Molly! Make Me Smart is produced by Sharon Morris. Senior producer is Eve Tro. Sarah Menendez is our digital producer. This week's program was engineered by Jake Gorski. The theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves, the senior vice president and general manager. She actually is the one who stands up to corporate and says, stop, we're not having this conversation with my journalists. That's the way it goes. Her name is Deborah Clark. All right, I got to go. Bye. Oh, man. I talk too fast. I need the short version. That's me stacking my papers. All right, bye.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.